Mark 8:22, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Tonight's message title is, How's Your Vision? How's Your Vision? This can be vision night for some of us. And I think this portion of Scripture will help us evaluate our personal vision. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And boy, everybody thinks, man, it's important that leadership has a vision. Our pastor has a vision. Well, let's check our own vision tonight. Very, very interesting portion of Scripture. I will tell you how this message came. Thursday night, I went to bed. Lord woke me up about, come on, he does this to you, doesn't he? About 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, you lay there. You're tired. You just want to sleep. Finally, just get up. And went in the living room, and from about 2 o'clock on a Friday morning, early Friday morning, till about 4 o'clock, the Lord directed me to this portion of Scripture and gave me the message for tonight. I want to say this. Those 2 hours were a delightful time to spend with the Lord. Although at the end of it, I told him, why can't we do this from 2 to 4 in the afternoon? And he said to me, because I keep all during the day going, hello? So maybe we have to sometimes get quiet enough to hear him and sometimes quiet the things around us to hear him. And I think that's why David talked about his communion with God in the night watches, you know. And so the problem's never the Lord, the problem's always me. And so, but notice this portion of Scripture. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. And besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led them out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. What an interesting answer. He looked up and said, I see men as trees, walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and did what? Made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to ask you to check our vision. Help us to check our vision tonight. Lord, use this portion of Scripture to be able to help us to be able to see some things maybe that we are not seeing, or perhaps to see some things more clearly that we are seeing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me break this story down, and I'm going to give you the outline. I think as I develop the outline, the light's going to come on. You're going to understand the Bible principles. You're going to be able to grasp them. You're going to be able to take them home. I want you to ponder this throughout the week. But we see, of course, here, and have read about a story about a blind man who receives his sight. He experiences in this story three different types of vision or levels of vision. Now, think about that. He starts out, in the beginning of the story, being described as a blind man. So we can say he had no vision. He did not see men at all. He was blind. Then Jesus led him out of the city, and we'll talk about that in a bit, and ministered to him, and then asked him a question. He said, asked him if he saw aught. What are you seeing now? How's your vision? And he then experiences another level or a different type of vision. It started out with no vision. Now it's gone to partial vision. He sees men. Let's look at his answer, because, folks, aren't you glad that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? By the way, God not only preserved his words, he preserved every specific word, and they're there for a purpose. So let's listen to it. And he looked up and said, here it is, I see men as trees, walking. So he sees men, but he sees them as trees walking. First of all, notice men is in the plural. He sees them in the plural. And also, again, the word trees in the plural. So I'm seeing men, and I'm seeing them as trees walking. What an interesting answer. He says, I see men in groups the same way I guess I would see trees. Men were to him as walking trees. We'll develop that in a minute. And then there's the next level of vision. He goes from no vision to partial vision. And then Jesus again ministers to him by doing two things. He puts his hands upon his eyes. And then he makes him look up. And the Bible then says that God performed a beautiful miracle, a perfect miracle. And here we have this statement, he was restored and saw. Now notice the wording. Is it different? Every what?
Man.
He's not talking about men anymore. He's not talking about men appearing as trees anymore. He says, I see every man, singular, clearly, clearly. So we see that he went from no vision to partial vision to a clear vision, where now he sees men individually and sees each and every one completely, clearly. Three conditions, I believe this teaches us, of spiritual vision. Let's be challenged this morning. You know what? Most Christians, or at least many Christians, when it comes to the people around them, are blind. They're absolutely blind. We don't want to admit it. And we say, well, that's not true, preacher, because I have sight and I see people. But the honest truth is, our sight is not outward. Our sight is inward. And one of the things that I believe we all have to be aware of, and your preacher blows the trumpet on, in the last day, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Even when Jesus gave the second commandment, you know how he had to word it? He said, I want you to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might. And he said, I want you to love your neighbor. How? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? We never have any trouble loving us. We never have any trouble noticing us. Come on, men. In Ephesians chapter 5, you know what God had to give his instruction to the men? He said, I want you to love your wives as your own selves, as your own body. Because we never have any trouble making sure that we see our needs, see what we want. And listen, folks, we have to let the Holy Spirit help us at this point, because we all want to defend ourselves and we all want to be defensive. But the honest truth is, I want you, as you walk your walk this week, just evaluate and ask the Lord to help you evaluate. Am I really seeing anybody but me? Am I really thinking about anybody but me? Am I really concerned about anybody but me? What is the thrust and focus of my life? Is it me and mine? And sadly, that's kind of where we are at. Because of the inability to see anything around you. By the way, I talked to a man who had a ministry to blind people. And I had a conversation. This has been 25, 30 years ago. And I sat down. Anytime I sit down with somebody that's doing something unique, I want to learn everything I can, pick his brain. One of the things he mentioned, he said, one of the big obstacles that we face when dealing with blind people, and folks, listen, you know, this is a generalization, okay? But he said, it is the truth more times than it's not. Because they can't see anybody around them, he said their height of selfishness is far beyond the average person. And by the way, close your eyes and walk around for a day. Come on, before we throw judgment. I mean, a blind person, you know what the questions they're constantly asking themselves out of necessity? Where am I? What do I need? Where do I need to get to? How can I get there? Who or what around me can be used to get me where I want to go, or who or around me can get me what I need? Anyone or anything that's not helping me get what I need, or it's not helping me to get what I want, just really becomes an obstacle in my way. And folks, listen to me. We can live that way as Christians. Where everything really, when it boils down to, I mean, every announcement that's made, every change in ministry, everything, you know what it is? And I know it's a human reaction, and you could say it's a natural reaction, but I'd like to think Christians could start having supernatural reactions instead of natural reaction. But everything instantly becomes, how does this affect me? Or what's this have to do with me? Blindness isolates an individual into a prison of self-focus. Think about that. It isolates an individual into a prison of self-focus. The easiest sin in the world to commit is the sin of selfishness. Whose needs are you most aware of? Whose needs do you care the most about? Whose needs do you spend the bulk of your time trying to fulfill? And I think a lot of us, we're not careful and say, okay, we are in that phase of these three phases. We are blind to what's around us. Now, some Christians, because of their interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, we'll get to this in a minute, but the reason he got fixed is because they brought him to Jesus. And folks, I can't fix Jerry Ross's selfishness, and you can't fix your selfishness. But Jesus can fix every single sin problem that we have. If we'll let him, he can fix it. So most Christians are blind, but some Christians, they see men, plural, but they see them as trees walking. Isn't that just a fascinating, interesting phrase there? They only see people in two ways, okay? So I like to take what's actually said and say, okay, what did he say there? First of all, men is in the plural. I already mentioned this. So he notices people, but he notices them only in groups. Starts noticing groups of people, okay? You know, you ever heard the phrase, you can't see the trees for the forest, you know? And so he's not seeing individual trees, yes, but he's seeing forest. He's seeing men as trees, plural, walking. This is where we start talking. Come on, men, think about these phrases, you know. We start talking about the family. Come on, even our own family. This is my family. And then, you know what? What I'm going to say at the end of this, I want you to understand, it's never wrong. It's not sinful to refer to people groups at times. But I'm talking about the mentality of it if we're not careful. How about this? Well, there's my kids, the kids, my coworkers, my Sunday school class, the bus kids, my bus kids, my classmates. Come on, Christian school students, my classmates. Or teachers, staff, my students. I could say my staff or my parents, my youth group, my employees, my helpers, my customers, my volunteers, our school monitors, our school teachers, our church members, the teenagers, the children, the senior saints, the shut-ins, the young couples, the babies, the toddlers, the children, the families. We go on and on. And a lot of times, the step that we take to where we need to get, and by the way, it's not wrong to take this step, is the Lord begins to allow us to see people in groups, and we see a group of people that at least we can acknowledge and notice outside of ourself. We're not totally selfish now. We might even be able to notice that that group of people have needs. I see men as trees walking. So we begin to see men. We begin to see them in groups. But the Bible says then we see them and notice them like we would notice a tree. So we see them in groups, but we see them as inanimate objects. Again, it's not that you never notice people, but as you leave here to go from here to your car, groups of people, you notice them. You might even nod and smile at a couple of them, but they still are kind of just obstacles in your way of where you're trying to get to do what you want to do. You notice people, but you notice people as the same way you would notice, come on, let's just say it, same way you would notice a shrub. If we really looked in our heart and the amount of concern, compassion, care, we acknowledge people's existence. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, how you doing? As we're going forward to do what we want to do. But we see them as inanimate objects. You know, we walk in our classroom if we're not careful. And you know what? There's my group. And we look at them as a group. And we have a job to do to minister to this group. And we see them as men, like men as trees walk. We see men as trees walking. See them the same way we would see a shrub or a bush or a sapling or a plant. People become shadows only, small and large groups of inanimate objects that are merely obstacles along the path of life. Time to time, I'll stop and interact with some of them and maybe even minister to some of them. But you know what? All I do is see groups. And the honest truth is, I don't think any more about them than I would think about a tree. Okay, now we're getting there. We're getting there. Aren't you glad Jesus is there to help the process? Amen. Hey, thank God you at least notice somebody breathing around you. Come on, young people. One of the things that you have to grow out of in order to become mature, one of the things that you need to set aside as a childish thing when you begin to become a man is to stop worrying about yourself all the time. Stop being fixated on yourself all the time. Upset because you didn't get something and somebody else did. I mean, you like having somebody to play with, but the honest truth is you care as much about them as you do a tree. And so many people are there, and let me say this. I'm sorry, it's true. There are Christians that will live their entire life and never get past that level of vision. But aren't you glad Jesus is patient? He's not done with this. Then we see that there's a few Christians that graduate to the next level of vision, and they see not just groups, and they don't see groups as trees, but the Bible then uses this term. His eyes were fully restored, and he saw, here's the quote, he saw every man. Now we're not talking about men, man clearly. Many of you are already starting to get the truth. The Holy Spirit's ministering to you and helping you with this. This is where we need to get to. This is where, hey, how's your vision? How's your vision? This is where you need to get to, okay? When his eyes were fully restored, he saw every man clearly, the individual. He saw them in the singular. He saw each one in perfect detail. Aren't you glad that Christ never lost sight of the individual? He ministered to the multitudes, but he never lost sight of the individual. I like that we sing the song and teach our children the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know what? Let's sing it every Sunday. I'm for it. But I think that that's not the only song I want to teach him when it comes to the love of Jesus. How about this? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yes, he loves the little children, all the children of the world. But young people, let me remind you that he loves you. He doesn't just see all of your siblings. He doesn't just see the kids. He sees you. He doesn't just see all of the young people in your Sunday school class. He sees you. He cares about you. He cares about the individual. We must learn to minister to groups. Watch this, folks. And that's how ministry a lot of times has to be done. But please listen. In the process, we can never fail to see clearly the individual. The individual. Hey, people are saved individually. They must be treated as individuals. Listen, they must be loved individually. This takes clear vision. And can I tell you what the biggest problem is? Come on. And I mean, we are all hampered by this. It's a reality. This also takes time. It takes time. That's why the fewer people that can clearly see and get to this level, the fewer there are, the less amount of people that get ministered to in a real meaningful and impactful way. But you take a church this size, and if we can say, God, I'm going to come to you because I'm blind. I'm going to come to you and ask you to get me to the point where I can see men as trees walking. But I don't want to stop there, Lord. I don't want you to finish dealing with me this year until I can see every man clearly. And you know what? Every single one of us need to decide to make a difference in some individual people's lives. Now, if it's just me and I'm here on a Sunday morning and I'm the only one, then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to fail miserably and fall so short, not because I don't have a heart to, but because I just simply am restricted by the amount of time that I could spend. But isn't it amazing? And wouldn't it be amazing if an entire church said, Lord, I'm going to come to you as an eye doctor tonight, and I'm going to have my vision checked, and I'm going to ask you to not stop working on me till I can see every man clearly. Do you see only you? Do you see people in groups or as inanimate objects, or can you see clearly the one? I think every young person who walks into the Blessed Oak Baptist Church Sunday morning, they need to be seen by somebody. Somebody needs to see them clearly. I can't see them all, you can't see them all, but can't we all see someone? Can't we all reach out to someone? Hey, everyone needs to be loved by someone. Needs to be listened to and ministered to and cared for as an individual. Listen, somebody here needs to know their name. Someone here needs to understand their family dynamic. Someone here needs to help them through their struggles and share their joys and catch their tears and invest in the life of someone. An individual takes a lot of time. No one can do it for all of them, but all of us can do it for somebody. What I'm saying is this. I think in 2023, every single one of us needs to pick out a few and say, you know what, I can't care for 100, but I could care for these three or these four or these five. I think a Sunday school teacher says, preacher, you're exactly right. I love my class. I pray for my class. But the honest truth is I see them as trees walking. I see them as a group. I see them not clearly. I haven't seen them as individuals. I'm going to stop walking in and spending 35 minutes one time a week. And I'm going to get into their lives and into their homes. And I'm going to figure out who they are and where they're at and how I can help them. And how I can listen, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see every man clearly. Okay, now, let me just go through because again, the outline is so amazing. I'm going to walk you through it. But you say, preacher, how did this man go from being a blind man to be able to see all men clearly? What did Jesus do? Well, first of all, the man was aware of his need to see. I'm going to give this blind man credit. At least he knew he was blind. Hey, it's well, that's easy. Well, it is physically, but it's not spiritually. If we're not careful, we'll walk in here convincing ourselves that we're the one that already sees clearly. And the honest truth is, you haven't touched an impact, a life of the Lord Jesus Christ in a meaningful way in 20 years. It's because you're blind. Or you're walking around seeing them the same way you'd look at a tree. And until we are willing to come before the Lord and say, there's something wrong with my eyes. And I know who I need to get to fix it. So this man was aware of his need. The man was brought to Jesus for help. And then we read this story. It's very interesting. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So Christ took the blind man by the hand. He led him out of the town, away from those who were helping him to learn to live with his blindness. Well, let me just, this is so important. Jesus said, you want help? All these people are the ones that are concerned about him. So they bring him. He needs help. Jesus said, you want help? He takes him by the hand. You think about how intimate that is. He reaches out, take him by the hand. There has to be a trust factor in this. Are you willing for Jesus Christ to say, all right, if you're going to be fixed in this area of your life, I need you to let me take you by your hand like a little child, and I need you to follow me, and I need you to trust me. Because we're not going to get it done here with people that have spent their life rearranging the world around you so that you can stay blind. Enabling your blindness, helping you excuse your blindness, helping to reinforce your victim's mentality. Come on now. So Jesus said, thank you for bringing him. See ya. And he takes him outside the town. Think about that. He led him out of the town, away from those who were helping him learn to live with his blindness or make excuses for his blindness or just pity him for his blindness. Then he did something else. He spit on his eyes. That's what the Bible says. He spit on his eyes and he put his hands upon him. Then he asked him if he saw aught. Blind man looked up saying, I see men as trees walking. I'm just walking you through it, giving you the facts. Jesus again puts his hands upon his eyes. Only this time when he does, he makes him look up. The blind man's eyes are restored. He sees every man clearly, sends him away to his house and tells him, neither go back into the town nor tell it in the town. Spiritual applications. Stay with me. If you're going to have your vision altered in a miraculous way, first of all, you need to realize you have a need. I don't care how many of us think that we're seeing clearly, we're missing something. And we're missing people. And there's not a one of us that couldn't be better in this area of our life. Now, number two, only Christ can heal that kind of blindness. Because Jerry Ross's tendency is to always look inward. Come on, think about me, worry about me. And it is so easy, even in dealing with people, to just look at them as inanimate objects, groups of people. You know what? Come on. Obstacles in my path to where I'm trying to get to or what I want to do. Think about that. First, you must allow Christ to take you by the hand and lead you. You just got to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this, and whatever you've got to do to fix this problem in my life, I'm putting my hand in yours, and I'll follow you wherever, and you do whatever you want to do in my life. Because, folks, I will tell you in this area of your life that a lot of times God has to do something radical in your life to get you out of a selfish mode and to fix your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight. This is a work that must be done away from the crowds, away from those who enable your blindness, make excuses for you, away from those who reinforce your victim's mentality. Next, you must suffer and accept some divine humiliation. Now, folks, look at the Bible, King James Holy Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Doesn't say like he did other times where he spit on some clay and put it on his eyes. Does it say that? It says this, and he took the blind man by his hand and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes. So what did he do? Jesus says, you're going to trust me? Yes. You really want to see? Yes. All right, let me take you by the hand. Where are we going? Doesn't matter. Just follow me. Okay? I need to take you away from people that are preventing you from seeing anything but you. I need to take you out of the town. We need to do some private interaction. Can you imagine he gets out of town for a way and can you feel, he feels the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ go on either side of his face, and all of a sudden he feels the breath of Christ upon him, and all of a sudden he gets spit in his right eye and then spit in his left eye. You know, folks, what's standing between us and seeing? Pride. A lot of times, in order to be able to see people around you and to really understand their hurts and feel their hurts and care about and what's going on in their lives and Come on. All of a sudden, to grow in compassion and care, we normally aren't going to do that. But a lot of times the Lord says, well, I'm going to spit in your eye. I'm going to knock you off your high horse. I'm going to bring some humility into your life. Maybe some humiliation into your life. Hey, I'm going to ask you the question. I wrote it down. Can God spit in your eye? Can Christ spit in your eye? I mean, you know what? The whole process could have stopped right there. What did you just do? Listen, I want to see, but you don't have a right to spit in my eye. You don't have a right to do that to me. And so many times that's the reaction of a Christian where God is trying to bring something into his life to just humble him. And we raise up in pride and how dare God, and we get bitter and God shouldn't have treated me that way and. Okay, you're blind. Jesus isn't. You don't have the ability to perform a miracle. He has the ability. Let me tell you something. You got to get to the point where you say, Jesus, if you need to spit in my eye, spit in my eye. And so, can he do that? Once you accept this, and this man accepted it, then Jesus, the Bible says right after that, he put his hands upon him. After this, you'll not be blind, but you also won't be able to clearly see. And I will tell you this matter of vision and developing a vision and a heart for other people is a growth process. Very few people go from blind to seeing every individual clearly. So you must be willing to answer the question honestly. Okay, is it better? Yeah, it's better, but you have to answer this question. Yeah, I can see. I at least see people, but do I really see them? I mean, what do I really see? And then you acknowledge you're not where you're supposed to be yet. You say, Lord, I can see men. I can see groups, but I see them as inanimate objects. I see them as trees walking. Then again, what happens? If you look through the scripture, Christ once again puts his hands upon his eyes. And then I love this. He makes him look up. Now, think of the significance of that, okay? Do you want to learn to see people? Then let me put my hand on your eyes, tilt your head forward. I can see Jesus opening up his eyes and making him look up. Listen, if we want to learn to see people the way we ought to see people, then we better look up first and see God the way we need to see God. Because we can learn from him how to see people clearly. And so he makes him look up, and all of a sudden, you know what? Well, I'm okay. I'm better than this person. I'm better than that person. I'm more involved than this person. I'm more. And Jesus said, will you stop looking around? This is why I took you out of the city. And will you look up? Look up! God doesn't. Yeah, for God so loved the world, but God loves the individual. You know what? He knows the number of the hairs of the head of every person. He knows their heart. He knows their needs. He knows every aspect of their life. He loves. He cares for them. And if we're going to look at people the way we ought to look at people, then what we need to do is we first of all need to say, God, how do you look at me? Aren't you glad God sees you as the individual? He cares about you. Hey, see people as God saw you. Then and only then will you be able to see every man clearly. I'm going to say this because it's part of the outline. It's very interesting, the end of the story. The Bible says, and he sent him away to his house. Let me just say this. I believe that after you begin to see every man clearly, the first place you need to go is to your house. Right. Come on, let's deal with family right now. Amen. You know, it's amazing how many people can get a burden and a care and a compassion from people outside of their house. They'll come to church and they'll minister and spend time and all of this. By the way, that's all right and good. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think, you know what? If you are allowed by God, the miracle of a clear vision, the first thing you need to do is go home. Come on, husbands, and look at your wife. Come on, wives, go home and look at your husband. Go home and look at every one of your individual children and say, God, let me see them and help me to see them the way you see them, understand them the way you understand them, love them the way you love them. Hey, enough of, hey, kids, let's go. Every single one of them are an individual, and every single one of them God created and formed with his own hand, and he's got a purpose for their life, and they are so valuable and so important. And they, listen, I want to say this to the parents. Please listen to me. Your children need you to see them. and see them clearly and know that you see them clearly. So once we do it at the house, and by the way, I think you're never as good a Christian anywhere as you should be in your own home. But once you can do that in your own home, then you know what? Hey, let's go back into town. Let's go to your church and see people differently. Let's go to your workplace and see people differently. Come on, let's go to your bus route and see people differently. Let's go to your Sunday school class next week, and all of a sudden they're not men as trees walking anymore. How about let's go to the nursing home? They're not just a bunch of old people that's having a tough time staying awake. Come on, let's go to the nursery. Come on, let's go to the nursery, nursery workers, and stop just dealing with the babies and start looking at them as God looks at each and every one of them. Let's go to primary church, to junior church, to your Operation Occupation Mission Field, to Children's Bible Club. Come on, as we go to the restaurant, the grocery store, the gas station. Lord, I was blind, and you helped me. And I got to a place where I could partially see, and you helped me again. Lord, help me this week to see every man clearly. You know what? When you get to that point, you then ask God to help you to use this God-gifted, miraculous vision to begin to make a difference in individual people's lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for Vision Night. Lord, thank you for the time that we spent together as I prepared this message and as you talked to me and helped me. Lord, I think in some ways, last Friday morning, you reached down and touched my eyes and lifted my head upward. I want to be better. I want to be better. Lord, help us, dear God, to be willing to suffer whatever humility or humiliation that we would need to suffer that would give us more compassion and more of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, that if we look back in our Christian life and say, preacher, there was a time when I saw all men clearly. There was a time when I cared about the individual and I was involved in people's lives and I was helping them, but I've gone backwards, Lord. I need the Lord's help because my vision is blurred. I pray, Lord, that you'd help that one. Lord, just give us what we need tonight and in the year ahead. I believe if we pursue and pray, I believe if you help us, this could be the greatest year in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. We're going to let the piano player play, and the invitation is now.